Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins, a grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede. So sorry, I'm a little bit late. I got stopped by some children who wanted to ask if it was wrong to believe in the evil eye. So I had to, try to find out what they meant by the evil eye and so on. Hope I managed to give the right answer. So we're here in our Lord's presence. Spend a little bit of time talking with him. Jesus, you were born into a family. You didn't just sort of appear in the desert fully grown, but you were born into a family, you grew and developed in stature and in wisdom and in the favor of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, I think it says in scriptures. And we, Lord, have been welcomed into your family. And therefore we take an interest in your family, in your relatives. I mention that because today, the 26th of July, the church celebrates the feast of Saint Joachim and Anne, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which in some ways is a curious feast day, celebration, because these are definitely Old Testament characters. Joachim and Anne didn't go to Mass or say the Rosary or anything which we would associate with the Catholics. Yet they are regarded as saints, venerated as saints. They were probably, they probably died a long time before Jesus died on the cross and redeemed us all. Now we hear about Jesus's relatives quite often. And in fact, we may actually get a little bit fed up explaining to non-Catholic friends those passages that mention Jesus's brothers and sisters. Because we don't have any particular problem with that, because we've had it explained over and over again that the word brother, sister was much wider in those in that society than it is in ours. But we still do get asked about Jesus's brothers and sisters by those who take the scriptures in too literal a sense. So we have St. Matthew's Gospel saying, telling us, is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not his sisters all with us? That's what the people in Nazareth asked. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, a brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters our neighbors too? Has led to those people in Nazareth rejecting our Lord. The prophet is despised in his own neighborhood. They looked down on him because they knew all about him and they knew his relatives. And with a little bit of work, we discover that these brothers and sisters cannot have been children of Mary. First of all, she is always referred to simply as the mother of Jesus. The mother of Jesus was there. She's never the mother of anybody else. And we also see that in the Gospels, the mothers of those other There's others, James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, can all be accounted for. For example, at the moment of Jesus' crucifixion, we're told that among those holy women were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And St. Mark also talks about these mothers and tells us that there were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. Mary is this other Mary is the mother of Joseph. So perhaps we can think of today as being a family day, the family of Jesus. The church invited us at Mass today, let us praise Joachim and Anne, to whom in their generation the Lord gave him who was a blessing for all the nations. So we remember the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Their names are not recorded in the sacred scriptures, so we can't be 100% sure that we've got the names right. These names come down to us via very ancient traditions, especially the name Anne, which I think already appeared in the second century. But I always think that it doesn't matter that much in a sense, because we have these names and Joachim. But the important thing is that Mary had parents. and obviously, if she had parents, they had names. So we use these names to refer to the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Unlike Jesus, who is the Son of God, he has only a human mother, Mary. But Mary was conceived and born in a normal way, in a normal family. And it's another one of those things which brings the Blessed Virgin Mary closer to us. Jesus is the Son of God. There's always going to be, although he shares our human nature, there is always going to be that distance, you could say, because he is God, perfect God, a perfect man. Mary is a human being. Perfect human being, full of grace, Mary Immaculate. And some of these things, just remembering that she had parents, she grew up in an ordinary family, bring Mary closer to us. Now, sometimes if we read some of the visions that saints have had, like Blessed Catholic Emmerich, or we look into the so-called apocryphal gospels, you detect how people have, they read their own times and their own background into the life of Anne and Joachim. For example, the apocryphal gospels with their love of the miraculous have filled the story with miracles, things that are out of the ordinary. So clearly we have to be careful not to do something similar. We can't go painting a picture of Anne and Joachim as devout Catholics. What we can do is to just deduce that because they were Jews, must have been devout Jews, they would have prayed, obeyed the law of Moses, attended the synagogue, kept to the Sabbath. By their fruit you will know them. That's what Jesus would later say. And the fruit of the love of Joachim and Anne was this extraordinarily holy child, Mary. And unknown to this couple, God had plans for their daughter. Great plans. She was going to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Saviour. And this is the glory of these two Old Testament saints, parents of Mary Immaculate, grandparents of the Messiah. And if God preserved, or God preserved his mother from all contact with sin by making sure that she was conceived immaculate and then giving her all the graces necessary so that she never sinned, he must have also ensured that that she didn't have contact with much sin within her family. So we can, I think, deduce that God would have given lots of graces to Joachim and Anna, graces enabling them to be very, very close to God, very prayerful souls. Obviously, all in that context of being devout Jews waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Now, on one occasion, Pope John Paul II talked about St. Anne. And being a philosopher, he always goes very deeply into things. And I found this very helpful. He said, St. Anne reminds us of Mary's early home, where she, Christ's mother, came into the world, bringing the extraordinary mystery of the Immaculate Conception with her. She was there surrounded by the love and care of her parents, Joachim and Anne. There she learned from her mother, St. Anne, how to be a mother. And although she had given up the idea of motherhood from the human point of view, the Heavenly Father nonetheless gratified her with the most perfect and most holy maternity while still accepting her total donation. From the height of the cross, Christ in a certain sense transferred his own mother's motherhood to his favorite disciple. He extended it to the whole church and at the same time to all mankind. So when we as heirs of the divine promise find ourselves within the range of this motherhood, when we feel its profundity and fullness, we can think that it was certainly St. Anne who first taught Mary, her daughter, to be a mother. And perhaps it opens our eyes to how we owe something to St. Anne. So Mary was given to us as our mother when Jesus was dying on the cross. Behold your mother, Jesus said to St. John. St. John represented all of us. And Mary is the mother of all Christians and the mother of all mankind. Her motherhood extends to the whole world. And she first learned to be a mother from St. Anne within that loving family. So she taught Mary to be a mother. Mary learned so much from her mother, as everybody does. Little bits of wisdom passed down from generation to generation, stories. And St. Anne would have taught her daughter to cook and to sew and to clean the house and to do all the different jobs that needed to be done in those times. And some of these things would then have been passed on to Jesus. Possibly St. Anne was still alive when Jesus was small, since we're not told anything in the Gospels at all about St. Anne. It's quite reasonable to suppose that Jesus's grandmother was there, in which case she would have fulfilled the role that grandmothers have in a family. This is marvelous. It means that among the things that Jesus taught us and the way that he put things across to us, there's a little bit of this woman, St. Anne, and her husband, Joachim, again showing us that we have much to be grateful for. I was thinking that on this feast of St. Anne and St. Joachim, we could spend a little bit of time just thinking about the fourth commandment. That fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, which is a very beautiful commandment. It's one of the the positive commandments. Some of the commandments are negative. Do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness. But then you have these positive ones. One of the differences with the positive ones is the sky is the limit when we're told to believe in God or to worship God. Well, you can worship God more and more. You can believe and love in God more. It's the same with the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. It's not, it shouldn't be difficult because it is natural to love one's parents. And therefore but nevertheless it is helpful that we have this commandment. It's a natural thing, but then on top of that, God is telling us to, through this commandment, to honor our parents. So if we pray about our relationship with parents and with brothers and sisters, cousins, I'm sure resolutions will instantly suggest themselves, because our prayer should lead to practical things. All the practical things are just keeping in touch with people, and praying for people, being a source of encouragement within the family, a source of unity, bringing people together. Now, when I said that it's natural to love and appreciate our mother and father, that doesn't mean that it is always easy. So from a very early age, we're probably conscious when we look back that, and hopefully are sorry about being disobedient, or being rude, which generally for a child is not too it's not too dramatic, and you could say it's all part of growing up, pretty normal. But then for teenagers, things get a bit more complicated, and there can be quite a lot of tension in families when there are teenagers. There's that generation gap which complicates the relationship between the children and their parents. And it's possible for teenagers to start to think, well, you know, why won't they let me go to that party? Why do I have to be back at such a time? And my parents are old-fashioned, don't understand young people today, and all those sort of things. And there can be rebellion, resentment, and it can cause suffering on both sides. It's difficult for the child, and it's difficult for the parents. But let's notice that God has said, honor your father and your mother. Throughout the whole of your life. It's not that it's only until you're 13 or 14, 17, or even 50 or 60. It's all the time. And the way that we put into practice this commandment, the way that we live out this commandment, changes as the years go by. So a mother can say to her 10-year-old, hoover the room. She has to obey her mother, but she asks a favor from her 35-year-old daughter. Yeah. There's no longer that obedience required, but there's that honor and respect. Now, fortunately, some people might find it a little bit difficult with their parents at times. And I think a standard consideration which helps a lot is to always realize that whatever they do or say is guided by love, filled with love. And we need to remember that, we'll detect that perhaps behind some of the fussing. It could almost get close to being nagging. Have you been to the dentist? You need to eat more. You need to eat less. Have you registered to vote? Have you remembered to tax the car? Because parents are interested in their children. They want to give advice, and they want to make sure they don't fall into the same mistakes that they made. And problems, of course, can be caused by selfishness and pride. It's very easy to think, well, I know best. I'm 28 now. Is my mother telling me this, that, or the other? In our society, we have unfortunately lost appreciation for older people who should have a little bit of wisdom because of their years. In more primitive societies, the grandparents are often left in charge of the education of the children, and they pass on the tribe's traditions and stories, and they have a very important role in the education of children. There are so many things to learn. Life is so short. We do need to rely on others and their advice. So we can say, Lord, help us all to be humble, to listen to the advice that the parents and older relatives are giving us. We need to listen to that advice, so consider it, give the proper weight to it. Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us that the divine fatherhood is the source of human fatherhood. This is the foundation of the honor owed to parents. Respect for parents, filial piety, derives from gratitude towards those who, by the gift of life, their love and their work, have brought children into the world and enabled them to grow in stature, wisdom, and grace. So, same words from the Gospel of St. Luke that are applied to Jesus as he grows up. With all your heart, honour your father, and do not forget the birth pangs of your mother. That's what we read in the Old Testament, the book of Sirach. Remember that through your parents you were born. What can you give back to them that equals their gift to you? As they grow up, children should continue to respect their parents. They should anticipate their wishes, willingly seek their advice, and accept their just admonitions. When I looked back at that's the Catholic Catechism, or the Catechism of the Catholic Church we have at the moment, I was looking back at the previous one, the Catechism of the Council of Trent, which I think in this case gives much more detail. And it has quite a number of nice things to say here about the way of honouring parents. So the honour which children are commanded to pay to their parents should be the spontaneous offering of sincere, dutiful love. This is nothing more than their due, since for love of us they shrink from no labor, no exertion, no danger. Their highest pleasure it is to feel that they are loved by their children, the dearest objects of their affection. And then it points us to two stories from the Old Testament. Joseph, when he enjoyed in Egypt the highest station, the most ample power after the king himself, received with honor his father who had come into Egypt. It's one of the very moving parts of the Bible, where his father Jacob, or Israel, is brought to Egypt in Pharaoh's the carts that Pharaoh had sent to collect the whole family, and Joseph goes rushing off on his chariot to meet his father, and falls on his neck and embraces him after all those years in which they hadn't had been separated due to Joseph being sold as a slave into Egypt. And Solomon rose to meet his mother as she approached, and having paid her respect, placed her on a royal throne on his right hand. We also owe to our parents other duties of respect, such as to supplicate God on their behalf, that they may lead prosperous and happy lives, beloved and esteemed by all who know them, the most pleasing in the sight of God and of the saints in heaven. So that there are these practical things, like Solomon rising to greet his mother, putting her in the place of honor. We need to find those ways of showing the deep love that we have. Hugs and kisses, letters when away, and messages and telephone calls. We need to pray for parents. And that's perhaps something to think about. Do I pray for my parents and my brothers and sisters and the rest of the family every day? Do I remember them when I go to Mass? Do I remember them when I'm praying the rosary? And if at times you can't think of something to pray for, well, why not start with your family and see yourself with that task of bringing them all closer to God? But if at all times it is our duty or to honour our parents, this duty becomes still more imperative when they are visited by severe illness. We should then see to it that they do not neglect confession and the other sacraments, which every Christian should receive at the approach of death. We should also see that pious and religious persons visit them frequently to strengthen their weakness, assist them by their counsel, and animate them to the hope of immortality. That having risen above the concerns of this world, they may fix their thoughts entirely on God. Thus blessed with the sublime virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and fortified by the helps of religion, they will not only look at death without fear, since it is necessary, but will even welcome it as it hastens their entrance into eternity. And finally, we honour our parents even after their death by attending their funerals, procuring for them suitable obsequies and burial, with due suffrages and anniversary masses offered for them, and faithfully executing their last wills. So you see how all the way through life this commandment, honour your father and your mother, is applicable. Well, let's turn to Our Lady at the end of this time of prayer. Let's ask Our Lady for her help. Help to have a great appreciation for the family. Help to really play our role within the family of bringing everybody together, being a source of peace and joy and supernatural outlook. And ask Our Lady to put more love into our hearts so that we can really love all the members of our family as she loved all the members of her family.
I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you to help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel,